Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. Inclusive leadership requires common purpose, shared understanding, and all of the value that comes with a variety of different perspectives and life experiences and so on that are going to inform every team and help them to be more successful.
Hey, it's David. And you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Welcome to the show. So glad you are here. Today, I want to answer a question that I have both asked myself as well as heard from a number of different folks. And it's something that I've even been a little reluctant to talk about, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But before I do that, I want to invite you to ask your questions. I love answering questions. I'd love to devote an episode or the end of an episode to answering your leadership or management related questions. So I hope you'll send them in. You can do that one of two ways. You can go to the website for the podcast, leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com, and you'll see a big orange button. You can click that button and record your question, or you can email it to me, david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com, and I'll look forward to answering one of your questions in a future episode.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
All right. Let's get into today's topic. So... Two episodes ago, we heard from L. Mark Charles, who's the Global Director of Inclusiveness for Belden Corporation. And then last week, we heard from David Horsager, who's an author, CEO at the Trust Edge. And he was talking about the role that trust plays in inclusive leadership and diversity efforts and so on. And if you remember L, a couple of weeks ago, she was saying her invitation for every leader out there listening was, if you're not on the train of inclusive leadership, you need to get on it. And there are some reasons why and so forth. We talked about the business case. We talked just the right thing to do, but it's also there's the business case and all those elements. And then David Horsager was sharing with us about how inclusive leadership requires common purpose, shared understanding, and all of the value that comes with a variety of different perspectives and life experiences and so on that are going to inform every team and help them to be more successful. Okay, all well and good. But you might be wondering, and if you are, you're not alone. And if you are, you probably are white and you're more than likely a man. White men in particular, and I am one, so I'm speaking for myself here, I have heard a number of questions wanting to be a more inclusive leader, wanting to participate and not knowing how, or perhaps knowing a first step, but being reluctant to speak up, stand up, to take a first step for, you know, fear of being wrong, fear of it's uncomfortable, any number of different things that get in the way. And I have, over the course of time, even seen that happening with me. And so I've been reluctant sometimes to talk about it. And at the core of my hesitation was that as a white man, well, I don't have enough to say. Like, there are experts. There are people who have been fighting these battles and who have been studying this and doing the work with inclusive leadership, and people with lived experiences whose voices that we should hear and who should be guiding the way on these things. And I still believe that all of those things are true, but that there is also a real problem with me thinking that way. And that the problem I was having is a challenge that can undermine your efforts too, to be a more inclusive leader, to build more effective teams and cultivate the innovation that you want to see. So let's start by taking a step back and defining terms a little bit. Because if you haven't been wrestling with this, if you haven't been thinking about it, sometimes it can be a little funky. This is a question that I was asked in a social media forum. So the author whose work I respect, I'm not going to name, I'll say it's a him and it's a white male, but, and I respect his work. I've recommended his book many times, and he asked a question that I believe came from a sincere place. I don't think he was trying to be a jerk, but maybe it's a question that you've heard or that you've asked yourself. And his question was this: I keep hearing about inclusion, but I'm struggling with the concept, practically speaking. There are so many labels. How do I include everybody? What if I simply loved all people? Okay, so that's his question, which, great. I'm an advocate for loving people, including your team members, and we've talked about that in other episodes. I don't want to fire somebody unless it's coming from a place of love and compassion and so on. Great. I want to love our team, absolutely. But there's a challenge in this way of thinking. And to illustrate what I'm talking about in this challenge, I want to use a couple of examples to explain it. So example number one, in the hours and days following September 11th, the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center in the United States, it was very common for leaders and team members and organizations to ask one another, "Hey, how are you? Are you doing okay? How can I support you right now?" Those acts of concern, of compassion, and empathy were common, and they were addressing a shared experience. Okay, so let's take that example and then contrast it with another example. So after the killing of Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, many Black Americans reported that their business leaders expected them to show up at the next meeting or the next presentation with a positive attitude, as if nothing out of the ordinary had happened. And I have shared with you the experience of a friend of mine, a family physician who is also a Black man, shared his experience with me when, after George Floyd's death and the ensuing protests, he shared how he had just been a part of a reorganization, and his new supervisor texted him, and she had two questions. Was I ready for a presentation the next day? And she asked him, "How are you doing?" And he told me, "David, in 25 years of my professional career, through all that's happened in this country, she's the first leader I've ever had who asked me, 'Are you okay?'" So why the different experiences? Why after September 11th did most people ask one another, "Hey, are you okay?" But with all these other traumatic experiences, very few people were asking the same question. Not nobody, but relative to the numbers in the first, not nearly as many. The answers aren't easy. They're not. But it comes down to empathy, a lack of shared experience, a lack of understanding what people are experiencing. One was perceived as an attack on all of us, the other a threat to only some of us. And that's setting aside the corrosive impact on values and trust that absolutely affect all of us. But it's the perception, like, well, that isn't about all of us. So to me, when I'm thinking about inclusive leadership, this is what it's all about. Leaders who see people for who they are, who acknowledge their experience, and invite everyone to bring their full selves and perspective to their work. Is that covered by just loving people, loving all people? I don't think so. I think it takes more than that. I mean, maybe it is at a real global level of the word love, but you're talking about intentional leadership. Recently heard from a woman, Gloria Cotton, she was saying, look, inclusive leadership, we're talking about, can everybody show up, be respected, welcomed, heard, valued on your team? That's what we're talking about. Everybody. And diversity just covers all the different aspects of human experience, all the different ways we show up. And to Horsager's point, David Horsager's point last episode, to do that requires some shared commitment to a common mission, a shared understanding of how we operate on this team, how we do the work together, and the willingness to hear each other out and learn from one another and explore even those values in our approach. So how do we get there? So if you're listening to this going, yes, I want that, but I don't know exactly how, I don't know where to begin. I feel uncomfortable. I'm worried about getting it wrong. Okay. I'm sure if you asked many of the leaders who stayed silent after the death of all of those people who were killed, if you were to ask those leaders who stayed silent if they cared about or even loved their teams, I'm sure they would say, well, yeah, of course I do. So why stay silent when even a moment of reflection would provoke someone to concern and empathy? Well, one reason is the same one that keeps me or has kept me from discussing this, that discomfort. The discomfort of, I'm not sure, I don't know if, what if I screw this up? So I get it. I do. If you're feeling that way, I absolutely get it. Conversations that acknowledge the ongoing pain of a civilization that's built on centuries of injustice are not easy, and they shouldn't be. And the path forward isn't perfectly laid out with clear signposts. And yeah, you might not do it elegantly or well at first. And isn't that what leaders do? I love this quote from Brené Brown and Darren Greeley. She says, vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weakness. So when we're talking about the leadership of moving through discomfort, start with the fact that the case for inclusive leadership, it's moral and it's practical. Inviting everyone to the party, it's just the right thing to do. It's how we want to be treated. It's how you want to be treated. Let's treat people that way. And yes, it's also good for business, and there's plenty of research to document that. But if you're struggling and feeling uncomfortable, I want to invite you to take a couple of steps. And the first one is to acknowledge the discomfort. Just own it. Yes, you're uncomfortable. It's okay. It's like the first time you rode a bike and wobbled. Uncomfortable? Of course. Maybe you fell, but you kept at it. Or if bike riding is too long ago, maybe more recently, the first time you presented to an executive team. Maybe you were a more junior team member, and maybe you stuttered a bit, but you got through it. Discomfort doesn't mean anything's wrong. It means it's new, and it means it's an opportunity to grow. Embrace that discomfort. Own it. It's a great place to be as a leader. And then I want to reiterate, second step here, to start small. And I want to reiterate what Mark Charles shared with us a couple episodes back. Some places to start. What a difference it would make if every leader could just take a few small steps. Ask people how they're doing, particularly when there's a possibility they're not doing so well. It's a kind human thing to do, and its omission hurts. Invite people into the conversation. Ensure that you and your team hear every voice on the team, especially if there are some that tend to get overlooked or ignored. Invite them in. And you can ask how people are doing and invite people in the conversation, then practice listening without reacting. Take in what you're hearing. Respond with a check for understanding or reflect to connect things we've talked about in the past. That listening will often produce more discomfort, and that's okay. Go back to embrace the discomfort. But that discomfort can lead to deeper understanding, to better decisions, to a stronger team, and more meaningful business results. And I will promise you that as you ask those questions, they'll become more comfortable. It's a muscle you build like anything else. And as you listen and learn, that will create opportunities for you to act. You'll find them. They'll be there. And the third thing I want to invite you to do is to tune out your critic. What do I mean by that? Well, for many years, I kept this quote from Abraham Lincoln in a frame where I could see it every day. I had this in front of me for decades. Abraham Lincoln said, "If I were to try to read, much less answer, all the attacks made on me, this shop might as well be closed for any other business." To lead is to open yourself to criticism. It's okay. Pay attention to the feedback you ask for and from people who you know align with your values, who want what's best for you and are shoulder to shoulder building with you. Otherwise, it's okay to tune out the critic, especially if it's the doubting voice in your own head. But if someone's not aligned, if they don't want the best for you, if they're not doing the work with you, and they're critical in these kinds of things, let it go. That's their stuff. It's their journey. You've got your own work to do. So as you do the work to lead inclusively, you're going to come back to these moments of discomfort again and again because we're always learning. It's not a one-time deal. And I just want to invite you to join me in stepping into them and working to lead and to build a better future for all of us. That's being the leader you want your boss to be. See you next time.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those New Year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.